and on cassette. Praise God. There we go.
John 4.
Church by the Book, if you want to hear it a second time. If you haven't gotten tired of my voice by then. Praise God. Gospel of John, chapter 4. Verse 11, you know the context of this. The woman at the well, Jesus meets her. He's trying to tell her about living water, and all she knows is physical water. And he asks her to give him a drink, and what does she say? Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And I'm just going to leave it there. You'll see my meaning as we come around to this. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Little did she know how much he had to draw with.
Amen.
And the knowledge of the depth of that well that he had and that he wants us to have. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your word is hidden in our heart that we might not sin against you, Lord. We thank you that we can stand on your word, Lord, that it's a solid rock of your doctrine that we can embrace, Lord God, take through life, and take right to the end of life and stand on forever and evermore. Father, help us to know more deeply your word. Help us to stand on it daily, Lord God, in perfect faith, trusting in you who has promised to bring us to the ultimate promised land. We thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You know, I deliver Meals on Wheels as a part-time job for the county to supplement my income. And I had a new client, I guess that's what we call them, last week. Her name was Mrs. Corrado. I don't know if she was Italian or Hispanic. And I began taking meals to her on Tuesday, and I took them 4 days of the week. And when I have a new person, I like to build up a rapport with them. Now, I could see that she was in bad straits. She was bald, which told me that she had been undergoing chemotherapy. And she didn't look well. And I was trying to build up a rapport with her. And by the time I got to Friday, after 4 days, I think there was a rapport. She was starting to warm to me, and I was starting to, you know, share a little bit with her. And I came back in. We had the long holiday weekend, and I came back in Tuesday, and they said, Mrs. Corrado is off permanently. She died. And I just felt, you know, like, oh, my God. I failed this woman. How many times have you heard me stand up here and say, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
And I didn't unload Jesus and the gospel upon her. The first day, I was trying to build up a rapport. And I violated my word that I've said to you. You know? I mean, if Steve and Peg were here, they would testify to the fact that, well, we're going to give our hearts officially to Jesus on Sunday. And here it was Wednesday. And I said, no, you do it now. Because tomorrow is promised to no man. And so I felt really bad. You know, that gets you. You know, I didn't get to share the Lord with this woman. I mean, that's what my whole life, after age 35, has been about, is sharing the Word of God and sharing the gospel and trying to lead people to salvation through Jesus Christ. And then the Lord reminded me of something. You know, when I used to come home from the Record, Night City editor, I'd get off about midnight, come home, everybody be asleep. I'd go to my little room, you know, before B.C., before Christ, I'd go and drink a six-pack of beer. After Christ, I'd go up to my little room, spread the Bible in front of me, get down on my knees, and just wait upon the Lord and pray and see what He had to lead me into that night. And one night, God reminded me, because He's so gracious, and, you know, I don't tend to journal, which we probably all should do, but He reminded me that of one night when I got home, and I was waiting upon Him, and He said to me, you know, through the Word, through the Spirit, I'm not trying to be flaky here, that God, you know, hey, Rich, you know, it wasn't anything like that, but just impressed upon my spirit, and He said, look at the bigger picture. And He reminded me. That was a revelation He gave me. Look at the bigger picture. And that's my message today, the bigger picture. Because I didn't speak to that woman, because I didn't give her the gospel. Does that mean that she is lost because of me? No. He says, look at the bigger picture. And He reminded me of that scripture in Isaiah 9:6, where it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be. But He says also in that scripture that the government shall be upon His shoulders. I'm not responsible for the world and for its salvation. And thank God, because the world would never be saved if it was up to me. You know, there have been too many times when I've been lazy, when I've been lax, when I say, I don't feel like preaching the gospel. I don't feel spiritual today. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. Thank God the government isn't on my shoulders.
Amen.
It's on Jesus' shoulders. And His shoulders are big enough to encompass my failings and my mistakes. And I thank God that He reminded me of that.
Yes.
The government is on my shoulders, not yours. Faithful am I who promised. You didn't promise. And any promise you make is liable to fail at any time. But when I promise, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So I felt better about that, but it reminded me of that revelation that He gave me about the bigger picture. The big picture. You know, when I look at all of the things in this world, you know, I look at my own failings when I was younger and even today. I look upon the aspects of this body where people are hurting, you know. People are physically ill. People are going through financial problems and economic problems. People are going through emotional problems. People are feeling the loss of others. And I look at it and I say, you know, it doesn't make any sense, Lord. And then the Lord gave me this picture. I was meditating on this morning. And He said, you know, when you have a jigsaw puzzle and you look at the picture on the box, all makes sense because you've seen the big picture. So when you're putting those little pieces into place, you know somehow it's going to make sense. You know, you put one here, do the borders, put them in here, and all of a sudden you've got the big picture. And Jesus is saying, I always not only see the big picture, but I control the big picture. So that things that you don't understand, you know, why did my best friend take ill? Why did this one pass away? Why did that baby suffer, you know, sudden infant death syndrome and cause such heartache to the mother and father? Why did these things happen? They don't seem to make sense. And God is saying, in your limited capacity to understand. No, they don't. But in my big picture, they make perfect sense. You know, I love where it says in, I think it's Matthew 10:29, where Jesus says that not a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father. And that doesn't mean without the Father knowing about it. Of course he does, because he's omniscient. He knows all things. But it doesn't fall to the ground out of the Father's will. That's what that means. It's not out of his will. It's in his will that that sparrow fell to the ground. It's in his will that my father died when he was 50 years old and I was only 12. And I would question that. And I was so angry because my father was my best friend. For the first 12 years of my life, he was the best friend that I ever had. He cared for me. He loved me. He protected me. He told me when that bully comes at you, here's a BB gun, shoot him. You know? I mean, that was my father. He was a wild and crazy guy in some ways. But he was my best friend. And I said, Lord. You know, I didn't say Lord because I didn't know Lord. I was angry. He died when I was 12, my best friend. And yet, thank God, I know that I'm going to see him again. And I know I'm going to see my mother again. She died 25 years ago. You know, I had somebody kind of laying some guilt trip on me recently about not attending somebody's grave. And I said, you know, my father died 50 years ago. My mother died 25 years ago. And I have never once visited their gravesite. And I never will, because I know they're not there.
Amen.
And I'm not in this sentimental thing, you know, where I have to lay flowers or whatever. I can lie on my bed and remember, and often I do, and often I cry myself to sleep thinking about the experiences that I had with my father and later with my mother when she came to know the Lord. I don't need to visit a gravesite. I have it all up here. And all in here. And for the record, whoever might listen to this online, I'm talking, I'm pointing to my head and I'm pointing to my heart. But I know, you know, that God gave me. So I can look at the different pieces of my life, and you, I want you, this is a very simple message, to look at the various pieces of your life and know that they're not in any way random. They're not in any way coincidental or out of place or whatever. Every piece of our lives fits into that master puzzle, that master picture, that big picture that God has, not only for our individual lives, but for the entire world. What is happening now? What's happening with that running of the blockade in Israel? What's happening here economically? What's happening here with the oil spill? It is not out of God's will.
Amen.
It's all sparrows that he's allowing to fall to the ground.
That's right.
To build one big piece that one day, not here, I doubt not here anyway, but once we get to heaven, he will make us look back upon and say, do you understand now why I allowed that to happen? Do you understand now why I put that into play? Do you understand now the big picture? Mm-hmm. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
This is what I see in this little line of scripture here, John chapter 4, verse 11. She could not see anywhere near the big picture, could she?
No.
She saw a little piece of it. But Lord, you know, I'm used to drawing water from this well, and you have nothing to draw with. And it's so deep. And you know that Jesus, well, he did say certain things to her, gave her a piece of the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. But he wanted, just like he wants with all of us, to give her the big picture. You have no idea what I have to draw with. And you have no idea of the depth that I am aware of.
Amen.
In confronting you in this way. And he confronts and has confronted each of us in some capacity. And he said to each of us, you have no idea what I can offer you. You have no idea why I called you. You have no idea yet. And you're going to get it in little bits and pieces of why I drew you unto myself. And why God the Father drew me unto you. And why you are now called children of God. And you have no idea of the depth, the depths that I have yet to reveal to you. And every piece you get, put it into a bigger picture. A much bigger picture than you can fathom. Oh, I love that rhythm. Revelation. Praise be to God. You know, that's why I can say, when I've been in situations where I have felt totally out of my depth, totally, completely weak,
yes,
where God could say to me, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I could accept that by faith, having nothing else to stand for or upon. You know, I've shared that the very first funeral I ever did was Warren Moore. You knew him? Big name in the community. Jeffersonville United Methodist Church, there I am, the minister, got my little collar on, and the whole town is there. They filled the church. They were outside the church. The windows were open so everybody could hear what Pastor Rich was going to impart to these people, that was going to give them a word of comfort. And I'm down in the basement, pacing, throwing up,
yeah,
looking at my Subaru out the window and saying how easy it would be. I got my key right here. I could just get in my car and drive anywhere away from here. The last thing I want to do is appear before these people, because I got nothing to say and I got no power. And God gave me that scripture, which I stand on. Walt, you know, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you had to walk up the stairs and you open the door onto the altar of the church. And somehow I just kept telling myself, thy grace is sufficient, thy grace is sufficient, thy grace is sufficient. And when I opened the door and stepped out and looked at those people, all of a sudden the power of God came upon me. And he said, you see, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Look at the bigger picture. I have something here for you to do. I have certain words that I want you to speak to these people, because there are certain people here who are going to respond to the words that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to give you the power to speak them. And he did. And, you know, I felt I could have preached for 2 hours spontaneously. No notes, no nothing. But his grace was made. But he said, remember what I showed you? The bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. You're only, you know, I don't know if you play chess, but, you know, I'm basically a pawn. You know,
amen.
I'm not the king, I'm not the bishop, I'm not the rook, I'm a pawn.
That's right.
But he can use that pawn,
amen,
to take out the king or the queen or the bishop or the castle or whatever. Praise be to God. You know what I found in the situations that I faced in my life that have been very tough, you know? Very tough. God led me again this morning I love Sunday morning. I hate it because, you know, I'm a nervous wreck. But for the most part, I know that God is going to give me something that is going to just edify me. And what he gave me today was Daniel 3:27. You don't have to turn there. We know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. And what did God do? Because he knew the bigger picture of what he wanted to accomplish with those empires. The Babylonian, the Persian Empire would come after that, and then the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. But he wanted to accomplish something right there. And what did he do? Those three men were cast into the fiery furnace. We know that there was a fourth man there that appeared as a son of God. What did God do? He removed the power from the fire.
Praise God.
God can do that. And whatever fire you and I are going through, God can remove the power of it. And so there's just calm. And there's just complacency. And there's just peace. Only God can do that. He can remove the fire or the power from any fire that we're undergoing. Whether it's a fire of loss, whether it's a fire of uncertainty and anxiety about what's going on in our lives, either individually or looking at the world around us, and the wheels are coming off the world, we know that, God can remove the power from that fire of turmoil, of tribulation, whatever it is that we're going through. Praise be to God. Aren't you glad the government is on his shoulders? Aren't you glad that he sees the end from the beginning? Turn to Isaiah. Got to get the right scripture here. I got a million of them. Praise be to God. Isaiah 58. Nope, it's not 58. It's Isaiah 46. Praise be to God.
Changed it to 47.
Praise be to God. Verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. I am God. Do you know what that means? You know what it means to me? When he says, I am God, I say, oh, thank you. You are God. Thank God I'm not. Thank God nobody that I know of, who may be charismatic or whatever, nobody else is God. Only you are.
Amen.
Praise be to God. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Amen.
He's going to bring that big picture fully into place in his perfect time. You know what's great about God? Is that whatever he does, it's always the perfect thing, in the perfect place, at the perfect time. No matter what it is.
That's right.
And we can rail against whatever it is. Why did you allow this, Lord? Why did this happen in my life? But when we reach that point where we say, your counsel shall stand, you are God, and there's no one else like you, declaring the end from the beginning, when we can say that in our hearts, we have reached mature Christianity. And we are at a place where we can accept anything that God chooses to do. I've told you how I had such a problem for years with the fact that, you know, the story of Job, how God let his children be killed. And then at the end, it says he restored new children to him. And I said, well, big deal, you know? I mean, my kids, Matthew and Dakota, I don't want new ones. I want them, you know? I don't care if you give me new kids. I want my old kids. And then God showed me the bigger picture. And he said, they're not your kids. They're mine. I created them, and I can do with them what I choose. And I chose to take them to a much better place, into heaven, at this particular point in their lives, in order to make a point so that you could see something through that book. And when I finally accepted that they're not my kids, they belong to God, just as Job's kids belong to him, I saw the bigger picture, and I had peace about that.
Amen.
You know, Lord, if you take my kids, they're not mine, they're yours. I thank you for loaning them to me for this period of time. I've had them for 28 and 25 years respectively, and had so many pleasures, you know, with them. But if God chooses to take them, or he chooses to take me, he's in charge.
Amen.
The government is on his shoulders. So I want to read a little bit more about on that. Back to 46:10. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You see what he's saying here? Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken. He's saying, in other words, I can use anything. I can use a bird. I can use a raven to feed Elijah at the brook Kirath.
That's right.
I can use a man. I can use a conqueror. You know, Alexander the Great. He used him to destroy the Persian Empire and bring in the Grecian Empire. And when Alexander had conquered them, he said he died when he was like 33 years old. And he died in despair. He says, I have no more worlds to conquer. I don't know what to do with myself. If I can't kill people, fight and destroy people, I don't know what to do with myself. He can use people, empires, he can use birds, he can use anything he wants to accomplish his purposes. I'll wind this down. I have spoken it, I also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Whatever God has purposed, and we know, because we know how it ends.
Amen.
We know what's going to happen. And he says, I'll bring it to pass. And then you'll see the big picture. And everything that I allowed in your life, either for good, for blessing, or in your eyes, for ill, for sorrow, for whatever, you will see fits in to the big picture. And you will know that my will is perfect. My purposes are perfect. There is nothing lacking in them. So that when you get beyond the place of just the little pieces in the jigsaw puzzle and see the big picture, you'll know I'll be justified in your eyes. You'll see why I did this and why I didn't do that and why I allowed this and why I didn't allow that. Praise be to God. I know there's one more scripture I want to share. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bear with me. Luke 2:38. Luke.
Thank you, Jesus. 2:38.
Anna, the prophetess, who came and saw the Lord Jesus being dedicated at the temple, the same time Ananias did. And it says in 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for what? Redemption in Jerusalem. Praise be to God. Do you know what redemption means? Jack likes to cite those Strong's numbers, 30, 85, to release on receipt of a ransom.
That's right.
He came to release us. And it says in Mark 10:45, I came to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus said that. To release us into that perfect liberty that Jack was talking about this morning. And that liberty allows us and empowers us to see the bigger picture.
Hallelujah.
The big picture. Not just bigger, but the ultimate picture.
Amen.
Of what God is doing through His redemptive and restorative purposes on this earth, through you and me. I don't have to be perfect. Thank God, Mrs. Corrado's salvation didn't depend on me, because
yes.
I failed her.
Praise God.
But the government is on Jesus' shoulders. We have to realize that, not as an excuse for not witnessing or doing our part, what God has called us to do, but to realize that ultimately, God has that dipper, and He can dig deep into that well, and He can show us things that we would never have seen outside of His glory and His Spirit. Praise be to God. And I'm going to give a message now for anyone who might listen at the website, Church by the Book. If you're listening to this message, I pray that you will see that there is a bigger picture in your life. And that bigger picture is controlled by the Lord of glory, the Creator of heaven and earth, who made all things and by whom all things are sustained. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father or to the heavenly kingdom but by Him. Receive Jesus into your heart today and start to see that bigger picture that He has for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We'll do, as we go into our communion service, ask Ruth to come up. Play whatever God has put on our heart. Lucille to come up and help me serve communion. Yes, that everyone wait till everyone's served before we eat and drink unto the Lord.
It's going to be hard for the children to get in.
Yeah. We'll start on this side. Come up, go back to your seats. Corinthians 11, day in which he was betrayed. They took bread and broke it. But I want to go to what you have come to know as my favorite scripture now. Psalm 69, verse 4. Psalm 69 is a description, prophetically, of Jesus' suffering on the cross. And it talks about how his body is being just wilted away on that cross after having undergone what he did before even going to the cross. And it says in verse 4, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty." But then he says those words, "Then I restored that which I took not away." He came to restore through the death of his body on the cross the things that he never took away. Whatever I gave away in my youth, acting like a fool, he didn't take away, but he came to restore it anyway. The things that I never had. He came to restore peace, the peace that I never had, the joy that I never had, the eternal life that I never had, the acceptance of bad tidings that I never had. Whatever I lacked because of either my own foolishness or sinfulness, he says, I came to restore to you and to give it to you, even though you never knew what you were missing. Praise be to God. He came to restore the Garden of Eden to each and every one of us who accept him as our Savior. And that garden was full of love, peace, joy, faith, all the things, all the gifts of the Spirit, especially agape, the love of Christ. And he came to restore it, even though he never took it away in the first place. That's profound. And that's our God. And that's the bigger picture. Praise be to God. Let's eat and drink unto the Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Lord, I pray that you'll show us the big picture. Every day, especially those days when we're down, we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we're anxious because we don't know what's going to happen. Lord, show us that you are the government. You are the government. Not the government that we see in Washington that's so foolish and ridiculous. You are the government, and it's all on your shoulders.
That's right. Thank you.
And you are creating, you are allowing, you are permitting, you are willing, you are purposing all things to come to pass to fulfill your ultimate purpose on this earth, which is R&R, redemption and restoration. Thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Help us to see that. Jesus. Amen and amen. We'll close with a song. Amen. The altar will be open for prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise be to God. That big picture is going to come into focus when Jesus returns to this earth. In glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. These are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and storm. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word. There is no God like Jehovah. 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 The only God. Oh, he comes riding on the ground. As the trumpet calls, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, at a Zion till salvation comes.
Praise be to God. Jack, would you close in prayer, please?
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come together as a group of believers to worship you in spirit and in truth, to draw close to you, to draw close to the well that never runs dry. And we thank you, Father, that you have called each of us to dip down and receive the water that comes from the throne of the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, that the kingdom is on your shoulders and not on ours. We're not dependent on what we do, but we are dependent on who you are and what you do. And I thank you, Father, that you have expanded our vision to see a bigger picture and just to see enough to know that you do all things well, that in you, you are light and in you there is no darkness at all, that you are altogether beautiful, and that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We trust in you. We lean on you. We look to you. We abide in you. We draw close to you, for you are the chief cornerstone. You are the way, the truth, and the light. You are one whom we can lean on utterly,
Jesus.
And so we yield ourselves unto you, knowing that you will allow us to see part of the picture and part you won't. But we trust you and we have faith on you and our hope is in you. And it's not a hope like the world gives, but a hope that knows that there's something good coming around the corner, Lord. So we yield ourselves unto you and we pray, Lord, that you might inhabit the praises of your people this week, Lord, that we might manifest your kingdom to those we come in contact and also share that great love that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let there be light. Thank you. Praise God. Altar's open for prayer. Anybody needs prayer?
Yes. Counting down.
You have a great week, Dan.
No, really. No, really.
Really. You too, Jack.
Terrible.
I'll put another one.
Okay. I'll put the red stick.